Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 305. This is the sickness edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. I'm hoping that you can't hear it in my voice, but I gotta tell you, sickness has absolutely overwhelmed the Caffeination layer. Everybody is pretty much down and out at one type or another. It's the dreaded daycare sweep is the only way I can say it. I can only hear out of one end of my head at this point. Only the left side seems to be working. The right side seems to be all kinds of clogged up with no signs of relief. So and everybody's just coming and going. It's just nasty. And I feel the worst for the boy here. Actually, no, I think I feel the worst for my wife, because even though both of them are pretty sick, and I'm sick in my own right, but nowhere near where these two are, every time he's not feeling good, he tries to go to her for comfort, but she's feeling pretty sorry on her own right now. So it's been a crazy weekend. It doesn't seem very restful. But that's not what I came to talk to you here. What I came to talk to you about today was the Caffeination Podcast. This is the high octane world of caffeine culture and technology news. This and all the other shows, hopefully a little bit better off than this one, health-wise anyway, are all found lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com. Coincidentally enough, being the Caffeination Podcast, we found it was a good place to hang out, you know? Alright, the Caffeination Podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All the other member shows, including us, have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content, and everybody is listed over at techpodcasts.com. We are also a proud member of the Blueberry Podcast Network. That's Blubrry. It's Blueberry without the E's. For more information on that, head on over to that site. this illness that I'm currently fighting off has taken away one of the biggest tools for a podcaster's arsenal. It has taken away my ability to self-modulate. Since I only have sound coming out of the one end or going into the left ear here, I'm not really sure if I'm too loud, too soft. I'm not really sure if I'm talking just plain and funny. So I'm trying to manage here. Hopefully we'll get through an entire episode relatively quickly and cleanly, because I frankly don't feel like spending a half hour editing. I gotta tell you, with my one paw in a cast here, if you want to hear more about that whole shenanigan, head on over to the Caffeination 304, the broken edition, because I broke my hand on Wednesday. Finally got the pain meds that I needed on Thursday, so it's not nearly as bad as it was way back when. Yeah, so it's taken me three times longer to do absolutely everything. So to put the show notes together, because I felt like typing them this time, it took me 2.5 hours as opposed to the one that it usually does. And it usually only takes me 1 hour because I'm messing around and doing other things. So I still had to mess around, but at the same point in time, had a lot of content to cover for today's show. You're going to hear about any and all of the following topics: Legos, Bentos, Zelda, coffee tea, freebasing, steampunk, design, virus, and retro trends. It's a whole interesting pantheon of information that we're going to try and go through. There's a series of different groupings that I kind of tried to stick to. We have the Lego grouping, the DIY grouping, and then we have the trebuchet grouping, which we're going to hope that you can see, because, you know, all the stories in that little grouping are all about trebuchets of one kind or another, so hopefully we're going to get on to that. But before we get too much further, I would like to talk to you about the sponsor for today's show. Today's show is sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. During these tough economic times, businesses of all sizes need to increase productivity and cut costs, and online meetings are a great place to start. GoToMeeting, brought to you by the fine folks over at Citrix, lets you meet online anywhere, anytime, right from the convenience of your computer. You can do more and travel less with GoToMeeting's all-you-can-meet service. You can hold as many online meetings as you want without paying a pesky per-minute fee. Try GoToMeeting free right now for 30 days. For this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcasts. That's www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcasts for your free trial today. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. They allow us to do all kinds of fun and spiffy stuff, including bringing you the up-to-the-date and in-depth news on all kinds of different fronts. So thank you so much to the fine fine folks over there for allowing us to do that. So I hope your weekend has gone a little bit better than ours has. You know, no worries for the issues that we've already encountered, but hey, you know, it gets a little rougher from time and time again. Would like to just give you a quick little rundown on ways that you can get into contact with us. The first and foremost is to head on over to the caffeination.com website and comment on any of the shows that you find interesting or disgusting or whatever else you happen to see. The second is much easier. You can just shoot me, fire me, whatever you want to do off to caffeination@gmail.com to send all your comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, etc., etc. So, those are the easiest two ways to get a hold of me. There's also phone numbers and everything else listed over at caffeination.com, so just head on over there when the time is right. First and foremost, as we dive on into the Geek Cruft section, we do have a ton of Geek Cruft and consumable and caffeinated Cruft, so we're going to just dive right on in here without the usual 30 or 40 minutes of banter. We would like to wish a Happy New Year to everybody who's celebrating Chinese New Year. This year, the 26th of January. Yeah, I don't even know what day it is. That's how weird and clogged up my head is. But the 26th of January 2009 begins the year of the ox in the Chinese astrological calendar. See, I have a little link over there so you can get all kinds of graphics and other stuff to for you to satisfy your interest in the Chinese astrology and the Chinese cosmological way of things. So you can actually head on over there and figure out exactly what that's supposed to mean. I really didn't have too much time to look into what the Year of the Ox was supposed to bring, but I did want to give you the link so that you yourself could do it. Up first in the actual geek-related stuff, we do have a little bit of a retro, fun, cool mod going around. Now, my first computer was a Commodore 64. I know other people may have had different ones, but I have a very special place in my heart specifically for the games of the Commodore 64. I don't even remember all of them. They had Battlezone. They had a bunch of the tried and true classics from the early years of gaming. They had Ultima, you know, 1 through, I think 5 are actually on there. I have a lot of cloth maps hanging around from them. But there is now a Commodore 64 emulator to bring retro joy to your Sibian S60. Now, it's a the Sibian S60 is actually a handset. It's kind of like a Nokia N95 or an N96 in that it's supposed to be a phone, but it does a lot more. But somebody actually went out of their way to write a Commodore 64 emulator. Now, if I still had any of the discs for the Commodore stuff, that would be a lot better, because even though we had them, I think they just pretty much got thrown out after the 5 1/4s went the way of the dodo, and then even the low-density 3 1/2s went out the window as well, so it's just kind of fun to see those kind of games playing. I think they actually have a Flash-based emulator where you can go and play different things online. But I think for a while there, I actually got back into some of the Ultima stuff, and that was pretty cool. But a lot of the other stuff that I used to play was text-based adventures like Zork and stuff like that. And there's better emulators out there. You don't have to go through the Commodore 64 emulator. They just have an emulator directly for the text engine, so that, you know, whether you were playing it on an Apple II, you were playing it on an old IBM PC, or if you were playing it on a Commodore like I was, you could still experience the wonder that was Zork, the Underground Kingdom, and all of its predecessors, and all of its, you know, all the other information stuff that was playing around at that point in time. Alright, next little thing that we have up for you is Can You Hear Me Now, in a little bit of an homage to the Verizon commercials that are out there, but Verizon's apparently selling a network extender. Now, this is a tiny little thing. They're apparently called femtocells. I was unaware of this, but a little box that actually sits on the network, so you would plug this into a broadband internet connection, which you know, whatever broadband internet connection you actually have, and it would extend the range of your cell phone signal. So in our house, which has unbelievably and ungodly horrible cell phone reception, this might actually be a good investment, except for the fact that it's $250. The other good thing is that unlike the one that's already being put out by Sprint, there's no monthly fees. So once you pay your $250, from here on out, you have a super connection. So pretty much the reception in our house is the one thing that was keeping us from cutting the landline, because we're never home, and it doesn't really make sense to have, you know, delivery people and everything calling the house, because there's nobody here. We end up playing tag. Having a landline for us is more like having a pager. Used to be for a lot of other people out there. It's basically, you know, people leave messages at the house, and then we'll get back to them on our cell phone. More often than not, I see people actually calling our cell phone even when we're at home, just to make sure that they get us. And that happens for a lot of people. So I have a feeling that you're going to start to see a little bit more of these boxes come up. Apparently AT&T has one in the works, although there's no word on exactly how much. And people are really waiting for the AT&T one because that's where the iPhone lives. So, you know, all those people who have, you know, lofts or whatever that are well away from any of the cell phone towers, or, you know, end up going down into different basement dwelling places and stuff like that. All the geeks who still live in their parents' basements who have an iPhone are really, you know, kind of up a creek without a paddle at this point, because they don't have a very good reception. So I know in our area, AT&T has horrible reception. I mean, I think pretty much the 3-block areas where I live is actually the place where cell phone signals go to die, because my parents, who live about 2 blocks away from me, have actually worse cell phone reception than I do. I can get a cell phone signal in my basement periodically. Like, every once in a while it's a 1 or 2, 1 bar or a no bar, but still for some strange reason I have service. So, you know, if it ever comes down in price, the femtocell for Verizon, you know, the official Verizon femtocell might be an interesting purchase for us, and maybe it'll allow us to sever the landline. Who knows, you know? There's a lot of issues with landlines. You know, you have the caller ID, you have all the other things that people have to check. Everything's kind of all wrapped and bundled nicely in cell phone packages. I don't really understand why we still have one, other than the fact that, you know, we have the issue with reception. So this would fix that. All right, next little thing that we have up here is Monty Python, Monty Python, as they say, as the pythons themselves actually say sometimes. A while ago, actually not too long ago, but about a month and a half ago, actually created their own YouTube channel, where they put very high quality, full length editions of their clips. So, you know, one skit would be up there, and rather than having, you know, like YouTube user 483 or Funny Man 1280, you know, putting a badly edited clip up there, it was the pythons themselves who actually said, you know what, this is the clip, we're going to share it, and you know what, they're actually going to be in HD, some of them, you know, and there'll be extra content and things like that. The only thing that we're suggesting or actually requesting that you do is, if you like them, you go over there and you purchase them. And you know what? You can click on the link on the right-hand side and go over right to Amazon and purchase them. So not only did it work well and people were happy and there was much rejoicing, but the Monty Python sales in the month of December jumped an astounding 2,300%. Now, they're saying 23,000%, but there's some disagreement within the comments as to exactly how much. But it went from a lot to a... It went from not a lot, actually, to a massive amount. Apparently, in November, they only sold 2 DVDs, and in December, they sold hundreds, if not thousands, of DVDs. So it worked quite well, and they were able to actually trace through web analytics that a lot of the purchases came from people clicking on the YouTube links. And I could understand why this is going to be a fantastic idea for them. First of all, because it's a way to reinvigorate an older catalog, because they have all of their fans that were out there, and, you know, the fans might have not realized, you know, they might have forgotten a sketch or something like that. And I know a lot of people have the movies. You know, they'll have, like, Monty Python's, you know, The Life of Brian. They'll have the different ones that are out there. And of course, my mind's going blank. The Holy Grail, of course. and so many of the others. They'll have all these, but they won't necessarily have, you know, the Flying Circus sketches, rather. You can probably tell that my mind's going a little bit blank here. Sorry. But, so it's a really good way to kind of complete the whole set by having links directly to the DVDs where those sketches are actually located. I actually have kind of a collection as Monty Python Live, where they go over a bunch of their sketches, and Graham's already passed on at this point, so his urn actually makes an appearance. It's a fantastic series, and it really works well, and they have a lot of... I love when the pythons are actually interviewed, because they're really, you know, they're very genuine about how ridiculous their success seems to them, and at the same point, point in time, that I just love their sense of humor. So it's a great idea, and I'm glad that it's working out for them. And they're yet another artist that's realized that if you are already established, the net is a fantastic way to kind of cut the cord with a lot of the standard distribution channels and make yourself a good bit of coin on the side, or actually right up front and personal. And you know, they join the likes of Nine Inch Nails. So that's an interesting thing. I think that's even more of an odd coupling than Johnny Cash covering Nine Inch Nails Closer. So, I think he covered Hurt, not Closer. I'm sorry. All right, now we're going to head on into the Lego subsection of the Geekcraft here. The first thing we have up here is our Totally Cool link of the day from the fine fellow Norbert Davis over at totallycooltech.com. I actually have a link to his thing, so he provides me with a decent amount of Lego clips. By decent, I mean whenever he seems to find a Lego clip, he inundates the show with really great content. So thank you so much to Norbert over there, and if you're interested in gadgets at all, he goes in depth to a level that you really don't think of. Like, he really goes, you know, top to bottom, left to right, soup to nuts on any of the gadgets that he covers, and he's a daily podcaster, so my hat's off to him for that. So he is an unrelenting force in the realm of tech podcasting, so please head on over to totallycooltech.com to check his stuff out. But our Totally Cool link of the day was actually a Lego Batman that's really made with Lego bricks. Now, this is not your standard Lego Batman. This is not somebody crafting a 3D, you know, bust of Batman or something like that, but it's actually a Lego Batman from the game, you know, like Batman Legos or something like that. I forget what it's actually called, but you know how they have Lego Indiana Jones and whatever. So these are like minifig Lego characters of Batman and Robin that are recreated through Lego pixels. So they actually used colored Lego blocks to create a kind of like an 8-bit theater little a representation of Batman and Robin. This is unbelievable. I mean, it's crazy to try and describe, because I mean, since this is actually an audio podcast, it kind of jumps through the barrier, and you really have to go over there and see it. So head on over to the show notes and click through, and you'll see that. The next little things up here is something that I found that I thought was absolutely fantastic. It's Lego Chuck Taylors. So the omnipresent canvas sneakers, the high tops, of course, were actually recreated using Legos. They look slightly more uncomfortable than standard issue Chuck Taylor All-Stars, but it's just pretty cool to see what people are doing. The only thing that's not Lego on them is the laces, which they actually look pixelated for some reason. I don't know why. I mean, maybe it's just the picture that I'm looking at, or maybe they actually crinkled the string up, or the wire, whatever it is that they used, to actually create a kind of like pixelated lace. So, I think that the laces are actually white. Another link from over at another Totally Cool link actually here is a Lego's Digital Box. Now, this is a vending machine for Legos, or actually like a display setting for Legos that actually exists in a store, I believe, in Germany. Now, what you do is you actually scroll through the different little Lego sets that they have available on the shelves behind it, and it allows you to actually see the box art. So, like, you pull up, like, the Lego bulldozer, let's just say, and it shows you the bulldozer. But then it shows you a 3D representation of what it looks like after it's built. So it actually sits on top of the box as an already built thing, so you can see it. And, you know, for me, you know, looking at for something for my son, I know he's not into, like, the official Legos yet, because he's not, I think it's like 5 or something like that. You have to be for the tiny blocks, otherwise he'll swallow them. Where I know he's not into that, there's a lot of stuff that's out there where you're like, you know what, it's fantastic, all this wonderful artistry that you have on the box, and seeing things in 2D is really kind of understood, and it's the way advertising has worked up until now. But, you know, it would be lovely to see what this thing actually looks like built, to see, you know, if it's something that he already has. Maybe it fits into a niche or something like that that you needed for a certain little part. So if you were building like a Lego construction diorama and you needed a bulldozer but you weren't quite sure how it was going to fit in, this is a really good way to look at it. And it also looks like somebody's hand is holding the box that the thing is sitting on, so it gives you a little bit of scale. So I love this idea, first of all, because I'm pretty sure you can actually rotate the thing to see what it's supposed to look like after the fact. I mean, if there was a way for them them to put kind of like a holographic thing in there, or maybe include like one of those tiny little CDs that had the same kind of set of pictures, or maybe a click-through link or a USB stick on the inside. You know what LEGO really should do is on the inside of some of the like the bigger models, they should actually give you a USB stick, one of the LEGO USB sticks, so that you could stick it in there and you could see a 3D model of what the thing is supposed to look like built. And maybe even like 3D instructions on, you know, step one, step two, etc. I think that would be a fantastic idea. Maybe like a value add for like a LEGO Digital Box Plus or something like that. It'd be a great idea. You know, maybe the fine folks over at LEGO will sponsor the podcast for thinking of something like that. Who knows? Or maybe somebody's already thought of it and we're just waiting to release it. You know, that's usually what happens with me. I have a really great idea and apparently somebody else has thought of it about 3 months beforehand and it just pops out it pretty much almost as soon as I'm done talking about it. All right, up next, there's a massive virus that pretty much wraps up the LEGO issues there. But I know we're kind of jumping all over there. Usually I do a better job with pacing. I don't know what's wrong with me here today. It could be the meds, could be any number of things, could be the fact that I'm recording well after midnight again for some reason. All right, but if you listen to the news, and a lot of people are trying to stop that because they're very very I don't know what the word is. They're kind of jumping from conclusion to conclusion. Sensationalist, that's what I was trying to say. It's a very sensationalist news program right now. Everybody's going to die. Everything causes cancer. So you have to kind of try and weed it down to what's really happening. Now, there's a computer virus that's out there that's infecting a ton of computers. Now, they're saying that there's an estimated 10 million PCs that have this virus on there. And you got to start to wonder when they're saying, okay, oh, there's 10 million PCs. All right, so what do I do to actually figure out if my computer's infected? Well, apparently if you have this standard issue virus programs like Norton or something like that, it should be able to catch it and should be able to tell you. What makes this virus unique is that it's able to receive instructions from the IP address or from the host that is distributing it, or a specific host. So theoretically, if that host is shut down, there could have already been instructions in the work. It's a very intelligently designed virus. So it's really going to be interesting to see what it actually does. I mean, interesting from kind of like a step back approach, and uninteresting from the fact that if there are computers on campus that are affected, it's probably going to take a couple weeks to actually clean them up. But here's the thing that they're not telling you. The news media isn't really relying on this. But if you have had your computer running for a little while, running Windows XP or Vista or whatever, and you did what you were supposed to do and you had automatic updates turned on and you're up to date, you're probably fine. This virus was inserted through a issue that was fixed on Windows Update in October. That's what they were saying. So there's roughly 300 million PCs online right now. So they're saying 1% of the PCs that are out there are actually affected. Now that is a huge number. You know, 10 million, or I'm sorry, 0.3%. So, I mean, that's a huge number. 10 million PCs is a huge number. They're saying that the concentrations of infections are actually mostly in South America and Asia. Also, if you know anybody who's using a broken version of Windows XP, what you need to read that as is a cracked copy of Windows XP or Vista or something like that, and they're unable to turn automatic updates on, it might be time to download the updates on another computer, put them on a USB memory stick, and bring them over. This virus is slightly nefarious in the fact that it will spread over a network connection. It will infect one computer on a network, then attempt to brute force hack all the other computers on the network, and, you know, just trying password after password. So if you are a network administrator and you aren't sure if your stuff's all up to snuff, you might want to kind of check the traffic to see if you see something like this. There's a whole bunch of really interesting and high-level administrative information that are in some of the articles that I've actually linked up here. But I don't really think that it's going to be a major problem for a lot of the people who listen to this show, mainly because most people that I know of have their computers set to automatically update because it was a default setting after a certain time. So I could be completely wrong. Other people could be seeing completely different things. But, hey, just wanted to kind of give you my little take on it. All right, now we're entering into the DIY section here at the podcast. The first thing that's up here, we have two little contests that we're going to just relay information about. Steampunk Cylon, design your own and win. And win, rather. Not wind. Battlestar Galactica, that is a I'm probably going to lose a lot of geek points for this. I don't like TV very much anymore. While I loved watching Star Trek and everything like that, I never really got into Battlestar Galactica, the old one, never really got into the new one. I watch very few programs as it is. I'll watch Family Guy because I like cartoons, the same reason I'll watch The Simpsons if it's on. But the only two non-cartoon programs that I routinely watch are Fringe, because I just happen to be on when the premiere was on, and it was rather fascinating, and the other one's Lost, because I've invested so much time in there, I just kind of have to see how it ends. But other than that, there's not a lot of programs that I'll actually sit down and watch. I don't watch any of the geek staples that I seem to lose geek credits with whenever anybody puts them out there. But there's a contest to create your own steampunk Cylon, so you can actually design it and win all kinds of fun stuff. So it's really cool. So I have the contest linked up over there, and it's rather interesting, and it's being run by the fine folks over at D-Vice, which is the sci-fi channel, so it should be kind of cool. Now, the next contest for the graphic designers and the 3D modelers out there, it's actually the Relaxed Design Competition. The fine folks over at Yanko Design are actually partnering with the fine folks over at McNeil & Associates, the people who programmed the software Rhinoceros, which is something we use in architecture. It's a fantastic 3D modeling program, and it's really good at drafting, very, very, very powerful and very, very quick. Well, they've designed this contest to, it's a furniture design contest. Use the power of Rhinoceros to design a piece of furniture that addresses the idea of relaxation. You submit all of your designs and the models to the fine folks over at Yanko Design, and then you could theoretically win your own very own full copy, commercial copy of Rhinoceros. Now, it's roughly $1,000 program, so this is a very, very nice prize, especially if you do design, especially if you do 3D modeling, even if you're, you know, just kind of trying to play around. You can actually download the trial version of the software, and it gives you 30 days to play around. And since the deadline for entry is March 30th, 30 days, you should be able to design some kind of cool looking piece of furniture. I think I might actually try my hand at this. It's really fun. They're saying the design has to be a complete original, no copycats and anything like that. So I got a couple ideas. If I could only sketch them out, it would work better. But we'll see exactly what happens here. Should be fun. So if that's your bag, then you can head on over there and check that out. And then the next little thing that we have up here, again in the DIY section, is who watches the watchers. But I know a lot of people out there are interested in what uses what amount of electricity in your house. Everybody has the bill at the end of the month, or rather the next month, to tell them how much electricity they used overall. Well, there's a device called a kilowatt that allows you to measure the amount of electricity that is drawn through a socket in your wall, which is very good if everything's running through one socket. However, you know, you need to buy multiples of these things if you'd like to kind of get the gist of everything from the entire house. Well, the fine folks over at Hackaday have found a hack to allow you to use multiple kilowatts and affix them with a wireless transmitter so that they can send it back to a base station and then at the end of the day Twitter the results. I mean, this is probably one of the most involved hacks that I've ever seen involving something like this, but it's really, really a good idea. I mean, when it comes right down to it, I mean, it doesn't have to be a public Twitter account, or you could have it just save it to a server log or anything like that, but it allows you to kind of follow through and kind of pick out the little vampires that live around your house. And you can say, all right, so the second floor is drawing a lot of power, and I wasn't really sure why, and apparently, you know, leaving the surround sound plugged in, let's just say, you know, it tends to draw a lot of power, even when it's not on. So you might find out a lot more interesting stuff about yourself. Now, there's no information on the blog as to how much all this stuff costs, but I'm pretty sure, you know, just a quick little run through Amazon, you should be able to get a good deal of information on how much all these different little parts cost. But it does not look expensive. You just have to build a couple of the units laying around your house. I mean, obviously, this is for the more hardcore geeks that are out there, but, you know, hey, everybody's looking to save a dime here and there. All right, now we trebuchet section here at the Caffeination Podcast. Like I said, everything kind of clusters clustered around. There was just a couple little stories that were off all by their lonesome, and then there's something I'm going to talk about after the trebuchet section. But the first thing we have up here is a trebuchet toaster. At least that's what it's being listed as. There's a design concept that allows you to... I don't know if this is an actual toaster. I'm trying to find it. It might just be a design specimen. But basically, the toaster sits on its side. It's more of a toaster cannon than anything. But you put your piece of toast down in there, and then as it warms up and everything, when it's done, instead of just popping it up, it kind of fires it. So it would be kind of fun, kind of cool. You could have your own little Pee Wee Herman / Rube Goldberg invention kind of a thing going on, and just have your plate sitting off to the side. You could have it do any one of a number of things. But I thought that was rather interesting, and trebuchets have a very soft spot in my heart. I just think, first of all, the name alone is cool. It's a lot cooler than the word catapult, even though catapult has a lot of other things you could throw in there to make it even funnier. You know, actually throwing cats, for instance, although I do like my own. I think it's, since it's a siege weapon that not a lot of people understand, not a lot of people know about, I just thought it was kind of fun and kind of cool. Now next, there's something from over at Ogizmo that has a wreak havoc in your office with a DIY trebuchet kit. Now this is a very small kit. I think it's available from over at, well, they're talking about Foolish Gadgets. I've also seen them over at ThinkGeek of different sizes. Now you can really have some fun and throw some paper clips and stuff like that. I have actually built a trebuchet out of popsicle sticks and like the skewers that you get for like shish kebabs and stuff like that, and it actually worked slightly well up until I tried to increase the counterweight, and then it kind of just threw itself in half. So maybe a kit might be the way to go, except for the fact that this thing is $40. It's not really on the cheap like I would like it. So I love the idea of it. I think they're really cool, and if you ever get a chance, the Pumpkin Chunkin' event in Delaware during the harvest season, I'm not sure if it's always in October, but it's where people come out with their own little catapults and trebuchets and whatnot, and they try and throw pumpkins as far as they can. So you see some interesting designs there. All right, now that about wraps up the Geek Cruft section here at the Caffeination Podcast. Did want to run down a couple quick things before we head on into the consumable and caffeinated Cruft section here. But as always, the back channel for today and every other episode is available over at caffeination.tumblr.com. That's TUMBLR.com. Tumblr blogs are kind of places that people stick the random bits of detritus that they find around online, and I kind of use them as more of the, I would love to talk about this on the show, but I have a tendency to babble, so I can't really fit everything in there, especially later on at night, and especially when I'm hopped up on coffee like I am right now. Well, coffee and other things, but still, I found a lot of really fun stuff, and I just wanted to make sure you head on over to the back channel every once in a while. You can actually, not the bat channel, the back channel, but you can actually, you know, subscribe to that in an RSS reader if you so choose. And the other thing I'd like to talk to you about is, because we have had some inquiries, we set up a Cafe Press store over at cafepress.com/caffeination, where you can see all kinds of interesting stuff. We have golf shirts, regular shirts, a wall clock, a coffee time wall clock, which I'm actually kind of happy about how it turned out, and of course mugs. I'm actually going to be buying these, and maybe I'll have them as a prize on a future contest or something like that, because I think they turned out relatively good. Alright, we're going to head on into the consumables and caffeinated Cruft section here, then we will head you out on your way. I can't remember if I talked about this one before or not, but this is one of those smack yourself in the forehead, why didn't I think of that? One of the biggest problems with ice cube trays is the fact that the ice cubes, you either have one or you have all of them. There's no way to really, you know, pull one out individually. So this is a way of doing that. This is a tiny little button that exists at the bottom of each thing, and then when you want a single ice cube, you push the button and it actually pops one individual ice cube out of the tray. It's unbelievably simple. So I'm just passing it along to you, because this is one of those things where every once in a while when you look at a gadget, you're like, oh my god, that fills a need. It's incredibly simple. why didn't I think of that? So I just wanted to pass it along. All right, next little thing up here has a little bit of an economic bend to it, but Starbucks is planning to cut another 1,000 jobs. Now, this is very, very serious stuff, and what it basically comes down to, and a lot of people are kind of picking up on this, and it's kind of sad that it took this long for the news media to kind of pick up on this, but in an economic downturn, $4 cups of coffee are not going to cut it. I mean, they kind of stretched the boundaries a little when they were talking about it in the article, because they were like, oh, a $5 cup of coffee. You know what? No, I'm talking like a standard cup of coffee. You pretty much, if you're going over $1.50, I'm starting to look elsewhere to find coffee. I mean, it's very rare that I'll actually spend more than $1.50 on a cup of coffee. Even if I stop at a Dunkin' Donuts, I'll get a smaller size just to spend less money. I'm perfectly fine at getting less coffee if I'm not spending over my comfort level. You know what I mean? Where I have ventured into Starbucks and I do enjoy some of their beverages, I actually like the way that they've changed that they do espresso. It actually tastes much better than it used to. I don't know if they switched how they clean the machines or whatever, but the Starbucks around me actually have good espresso now as opposed to the swill they were peddling before. But it's really kind of the entire fact that they're cutting more jobs after they just cut more stores speaks directly to two facts. One, that they expanded too quickly, that they thought the economic boon was going to last forever, and that they were immune from any kind of pressures because, hey, everybody needs coffee. That's true. Everybody needs coffee, and everybody enjoys the experience that you give them. And the lovely little green logo that's on the outside of the cup is a status symbol of a certain sort to some people. However, as times get tougher, people are much more willing to brew coffee at home, which is where I come in. I help you out with that. And there's actually going to be a series of videos and stuff like that I'm going to give you quick little tips and information on how to get better coffee out of your available stuff at home. You know, so hopefully that'll take off. And I figure it's easier for me to do videos now than it is to write articles and everything. But so on the one hand, you have the price point, and on the other hand, you have the fact that, you know, people are stopping going out less. So they expanded too quickly, and the price point of the coffee was too much. And where Starbucks has forever said that people are not paying for coffee, they're paying for an experience. That's correct, but when it comes right down to it, the only thing that they take away from your restaurant or your coffee stand is the fact that they have a cup of coffee in their hands. And people are much more willing to sacrifice the experience when they can keep some money in their wallet. So it sucks for the people that are losing their job, but hopefully, you know, the economy will kind of balance out. Maybe Starbucks needs to start playing around with the prices a little bit. You know, I'm pretty sure that their prices are kind of built into the fact that they need to expand. So maybe if they reduce the expansion and they change a couple other things, they can actually knock the prices down and start competing. I'm not just talking about one style of coffee or one size or whatever, but they really need to kind of reevaluate how they're working there. All right, up next we have an interesting little thing. Now, if you are unaware of what a bento box is, it's basically a little self-contained lunchbox. They can have sushi in it. It can have dim sum in it. It can have all kinds of different things. It's very popular in Japan. And there's a lovely little piece of artwork that's over. It's called the Zelda Bento, The Adventure of Lunch. Somebody submitted a list of ingredients and a picture on how to create it, but it's a tune-inspired bento box that you have to absolutely love. There's eggs, there's all kinds of seaweed wraps, there's a fake sausage, there's carrots, potato salad is in there. I mean, it's very well done, and I just had to pass it along, including the little life meter that's up at the top. And all of this appears to be hand-cut or stamped out, so, you know, my hat's off to the fine people. And of course, it was linked over at Kotaku, so you can head on over there and check that out. Alright, moving right along. I found one of the worst ideas for caffeine consumption that I've ever seen. These are Reload Energy Strips. Now, these are like the tiny little aspartame-laced strips that you see that people have for breath mints, and now they're coming for medicine, like cough medicine and stuff like that, and cold medicine. The problem with these things is the potential for abuse. You can accidentally grab one or two extra if you have sticky hands or something like that, or, you know, you're going to have the people who do everything to excess and like, oh, you know, I don't feel anything, so I'm going to put another one in there. And you absorb things much more quickly through the skin in your mouth, you know, through your tongue and your everything else like that, you know, the sides of your mouth, the roof, whatever. So The idea of putting a caffeine-laced one of these things in my mouth actually gives me shivers. And the idea that, you know, somebody's going to put two or three or four or five or six in there, you know, while I know that they probably have warning labels at the yin-yang on this thing, it's probably not going to be the best thing. I have a very real feeling that something's going to go wrong with this. I know what they were going for, you know, easy, quick use, but at the same point in time, it just seems a little bit ridiculous to have this as a way of consuming caffeine. All right, up next is the absolute worst way that I've ever seen of consuming caffeine. Now, if you are at all familiar with some of the popular drug culture that's available in different movies that are out there, you know that there's a way of consuming certain narcotics called freebasing. So some fine, upstanding individual has found a way to freebase caffeine. Well, what it really looks like he's doing is freebasing instant coffee. So either way you put it, it's a way of smoking caffeine, which I'm pretty sure anytime you burn something, you change the chemical composition of it. So you're probably not doing yourself any favors by doing this. And there's a whole bunch of logical leaps that happen in the video that he actually put up there. The idea behind this is that he actually made a super concentrated solution of instant coffee. He boiled it down to pretty much nothing. And then he added ammonia, pure ammonia to it to kind of glob it up and to remove any of the excess water and anything, and he was left with kind of a precipitate at the end, which was kind of thick and black, and he said was a pure caffeine, which is kind of a stretch of the imagination, because I'm pretty sure a lot of the impurities and everything that were in the instant coffee itself are probably still there. So anything that you smoke coming off of that is probably going to be more burnt items than actual caffeine. The caffeine itself is a very bitter compound, so I wouldn't want to be involved in this at all. So I just had to send the link out there because I thought it was absolutely unbelievably ridiculous and idiotic. So just whatever you want. It's information wants to be free. I've already been sent it once after I already found it, so I wanted to send it out to everybody else out there to kind of showcase this and to tell you that there were slightly a few issues with the process as a whole. So I wanted to kind of give you two other little links, and then we'll head out on our way. The first are, these are two links from over at alltop.com. So if you head up to coffee.alltop.com, you can see a whole bunch of different websites and everything like Coffee Geek, I Need Coffee, Meet the Press Pot, about.com/coffee, Brewed Coffee, Thoughts Over Coffee. The caffeination is not on here, so I don't know if we actually fit in there, although I could probably submit it if I really felt like it. But Alltop is basically a selection of the finest websites that cover a given topic. So they have coffee.alltop.com, and they also have tea.alltop.com. So I wanted to pass along both links to you. So if you're interested in those two, you can head on over there and check them out. And that about wraps up the podcast for today. I'd like to thank you for sticking around through this strange edition. I feel kind of a little bit out of it still, so thank you for sticking around and dealing with me. It's a slightly longer edition here. I had a tendency to babble, like I said. I tried to cull down the content, but it just wasn't working today. I was going to originally try and go back and cut out all the flubs and everything, but I think they add something to the show. I'm not sure what they add, but please let me know if you think that I should go back and try and make a cleaner show. Hopefully we won't have too many of these messy ones in our future. But thank you so much for listening. If this is the first time you were listening to the Caffeination Podcast, hi and welcome to our family. Thank you for sticking around to this portion of the program. If you are a repeat offender, if you're some kind of person who enjoys the pain associated with listening, then thank you so much for coming back, you sick, sick person, you. All right, this has been Caffeination number 305, the 305th edition here at the Caffeination Podcast, airing direct live to Hard Drive on January 26, 2009. Happy Chinese New Year one more time. Thank you for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.